You never know when an important turning point is coming in your career or even in your life. Dennis Waitley said, commitment is that turning point in your life when you seize the moment and you convert it into an opportunity to alter your destiny. What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented founder, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be along shortly, but for now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Mahara.
Morning, Mahara. Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Wendy. Good morning.
Aloha from Arkansas, Mahara.
Good morning, Elliot. So good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
This is Jorge from Poolsville, Maryland.
Who is that, Maryland?
Jorge from Poolsville, Maryland.
Good morning, Jorge. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Hyacinth from New Jersey. Good morning, Mahara.
Hi, lovely Hyacinth. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Richard Moore from Arkansas.
Hey, Richard Moore, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good morning,
Mahara. It's Adele from Long Island, New York.
Hi, Adele. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm having a lovely morning. Welcome.
Awesome. Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara. Manuel from Dallas.
Hey, Manuel. What's happening?
All good.
We're glad you're here.
Thank you. Hey, good morning and happy Thanksgiving. Rick from California.
Mr. Rick Martin, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara. Andre from Jacksonville.
Hey, Andre. We're glad you're with us this morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Elizabeth from Virginia.
Hey, Elizabeth. Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Elizabeth. TJ from Virginia.
Hey, TJ.
What's going on, TJ?
I'm EJ.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Carrie Moore from Arkansas.
Hey, Carrie Moore. Welcome to the call.
Good morning, Carrie. From Idaho.
Hey, Kathy Early. We're glad you're with us.
Thank you.
Morning, Carrie.
Morning, Pa.
Good morning, Mahara and Think and Grow Rich family. This is Lionel Gibber from Detroit, Michigan.
Lionel, you grace us with your presence. We're glad you're here.
I'm grateful to be here.
Good morning. This is Nina from New Jersey.
Hey, Nina. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Lisa Scott, New Jersey.
Hey.
Lisa Scott. Shiny, happy people on the line. We're glad you're here.
Glad to
good
be
morning,
here.
Good morning, Mahara. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. It's Amy in Las Vegas.
Hey, Aislo.
Hey, Amy.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Morning, Lisa.
Morning,
good
Amy.
Morning. Good morning, Mahara, Richard, Dawn, and Linda in Texas.
Richard, Dawn, and Linda, we're glad you're with us.
Woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
Today may be a turning point where you see the opportunity, where you create a powerful change. Who else is with us this morning?
Good morning, Mahara. Charity from Bronx, New York. How you doing this morning?
Hi, Charity. I'm just on cloud nine. How about you?
I'm doing great.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You too, love. Come on, happy best people. Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning. This is Belle in Florida.
Hi, lovely Belle. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good
Gurwitch family, Mastermind family. This is Latasha Lanier from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Latasha Lanier, welcome to the call.
Thank you so much.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Michaeline in Minnesota.
Hey, Michaeline, good morning and welcome.
Thank you, lady.
Good morning. It's Lori from Snowy Wenatchee.
Hey, Lori from Wenatchee. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich Call Love. We're glad you're with us.
Morning.
Thanks, Mahara.
New York.
Good morning, in New York. Is that Jesse?
Yes.
Good morning, Jesse.
Hey, Jesse.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is Terrific Tuesday, November 24th, 2015. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from beautiful Southeast Idaho. Excited to be here on the Think and Grow Rich call with each of you amazing people. I appreciate you taking the time to get up early this morning and pick up the phone and dial into this call. I appreciate you for being someone who's serious about your future. I appreciate you for being a part of this community. You know, I love this call. I love what we do together. I love this community of support that we provide for one another, where we lift, where we instruct, where we teach, where we edify, where we believe, where we love one another, We come together without judgment. I was actually talking to a guy in my gym this morning, he was expressing to me how he wished he could find a community of free-thinking people who, you know, didn't judge and explored thought. I told him about our call, and I was just like saying to myself, man, I'm just so grateful that I'm a part of this community where we meet together every morning as entrepreneurs, and we discuss ideas, and we search and seek with one another. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for this place. I'm grateful for these ideas and principles that we talk about and that we stand for. You know, guys, we've been doing this call now for over 5 years. And it's nice to have something that you can stand for such a long period of time, isn't it? It's nice to have ideas and principles that, I like to call them truths, laws, that are so life-changing and so soul-shifting that you can just stand on them. You can base your life around them. And they're so worthwhile to continue to study and endeavor to apply in our lives and share with other people that you can stay committed to them. Isn't that nice to have something that is so powerful like that? I'm just so grateful for these principles that we study together. And again, I'm grateful for you. I believe in you. I believe the fact that you picked up the phone and dialed into the call today means that you have the ability to achieve the goals that you have set for yourself in your life. I think about, what we do on this call every day and the things that we do in our teams and our businesses where we're, continually doing the best we can to teach the people around us the things that they might need to learn to be able to have the shifts so that they can go forth and do what they want to do in life. And it's almost like, I had this image pop into my mind where, it's like we're reaching down inside people with the words that we share, and we're flipping on various light switches. It's like the rooms are there, the content is there, and all we need to do is like flip on a light switch. And who knows what call, who knows what piece of content, who knows what particular part of the book it's going to be that's going to flip on the right combination of light switches that person is just going to be lit up and ignited and be filled with faith and be able to just be a powerful, be the powerful person they were destined to be and go forth and do the things that they want to do and have faith and be a confident person stepping out into the world shining their light. I don't know, right? I don't know which combination of things that it's going to take, but it sure seems like there is a combination. You know, it's like Jim Rohn used to talk about this the combination of the safe. And sometimes he said it's like you've got three or four of the digits, and there's only one more little number that you need to get, and then you get that number, and it unlocks the vault to the riches of life and the riches of future and the riches of promise. And that's why we continually faithfully get on this call every day, because we don't know exactly what little number, you know, people might need. We don't know exactly what little light switch it's going to be, but we do know that information changes lives. We do know that truth changes lives. We do know that principles change lives. And so we faithfully get on this call every day with the belief in these principles and ideas, and we faithfully do the best we can together as a community to turn on those light switches, to release those combinations of the lock and the belief and the faith that this stuff does make a difference and this stuff does matter, and that people will continue to have those breakthroughs and shifts and transform into the people that maybe they were destined to be. I have a belief that all of us are great inside. I believe that all of us are born great. I believe that all of us have this light inside when we come into this planet that is there for us to nourish. I believe that we all have a purpose. I believe we're all meant to do great things if we choose to embrace that light inside and step forward. And so I just love, guys, I could talk for the entire hour about how much I love what we do, how much I love you, how much I'm grateful to you for being a part of this community and helping us to provide a great place for people to come and have those light switches turned on and have those combinations unlocked. It's a group effort. We couldn't do this by ourselves. We couldn't do this with any one or two of us. It is the whole of us. It is the combination of us that makes this call what it is. So I just want to express gratitude to you this morning. I'm excited about what we're going to cover today, because we're going to continue to flip light switches on, thankfully, to what Dr. Napoleon Hill has laid down for us. So guys, if you're grateful to be here, if you're grateful for this process, if you're grateful for this community, I want to hear you. Let's let everyone know on this call how grateful you are for them as I unmute the lines right now. All right. Sounds like we got some fired up people in this place this morning. So good stuff. Who's got the definite purpose self-confidence formula? Let's do that first before we get into our study. Star 6, and come on out if you've got that. Initiative and leadership opportunity for a willing participant. Star 6, come on out.
I'm TJ from Virginia.
Hey, good morning. Hey. Welcome.
Good morning. How is everybody doing today?
Excellent. How about yourself?
I'm good. Okay. Thanks. Okay, so my major definite purpose. By the first day of 2015, I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe that I will have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this, and I will follow that plan when I receive it. When it is received, self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of others, people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. Amen.
Amen. Such a powerful job. Tell me your name one more time.
TJ. It's TJ Sociala.
TJ. TJ, you're so awesome. Thank you for doing that. Hold on one second, guys. Hold on one second. I believe in TJ. I want to know if there's anyone else on the line who does as well. If so, let's let her know. Such good. Okay, let's get to work, friends. We are in the Law of Success, 1925 edition. You can grab this PDF on our website at growrichaudios.com. We are on page 54 of 1170. And we are about to dip even deeper into the mastermind principle, which is very exciting, isn't it? Okay, here we go. Dr. Hill writes, I may back up just one paragraph. I'm going to start at the top here. For the purpose of establishing this lesson upon a sound foundation, we have gone a long way towards success by admitting that the meeting or coming in close contact of two minds sets up in each of those minds a certain noticeable effect or state of mind, quite different from the one existing immediately prior to the contact. While it is desirable, it is not essential to know what is the cause of this reaction of mind upon mind. That the reaction takes place in every instance is a known fact which gives us a starting point from which we may show what is meant by the term mastermind. A mastermind may be created through the bringing together or blending in a spirit of perfect harmony of two or more minds. Out of this harmonious blending, the chemistry of the mind creates a third mind which may be appropriated and used by one or all of the individual minds. This mastermind will remain available as long as a friendly, harmonious alliance between the individual minds exists. It will disintegrate, and all evidence of its former existence will disappear the moment the friendly alliance is broken. This principle of mind chemistry is the basis and cause for practically all the so-called soulmate and eternal triangle cases, so many of which unfortunately find their way into the divorce courts and meet with popular ridicule from ignorant and uneducated people who manufacture vulgarity and scandal out of one of nature's greatest laws. The entire civilized world knows that the first 2 or 3 years of association after marriage are often marked by much disagreement of a more or less petty nature. These are the years of adjustment. If the marriage survives them, it is more than apt to become a permanent alliance. These facts no experienced marriage person will deny. Again, we see the effect without understanding the cause. While there are other contributing causes, yet in the main, lack of harmony during these early years of marriage is due to the slowness of the chemistry of the minds in blending harmoniously. Stated differently, the electrons or units of the energy called the mind are often neither extremely friendly nor antagonistic upon first contact, but through constant association they gradually adapt themselves in harmony. Except in rare cases where association has the opposite effect of leading eventually to open hostility between these units. It is a well-known fact that after a man and a woman have lived together for 10 to 15 years, they become practically indispensable to each other, even though there may not be the slightest evidence of the state of mind called love. Moreover, this association and relationship sexually not only develops a natural affinity between the two minds, but it actually causes the two people to take on a similar facial expression and to resemble each other closely in many other marked ways. Any competent analyst of human nature can easily go into a crowd of strange people and pick out the wife after having been introduced to her husband. The expression of the eyes, the contour of the faces, and the tone of the voices of people who have long been associated in marriage become similar to a marked degree. So marked is the effect of the chemistry of the human mind that any experienced public speaker may quickly interpret the manner in which his statements are accepted by his audience. Antagonism in the mind of but one person in an audience of 1,000 may be readily detected by the speaker who has learned how to feel and register the effects of antagonism. Moreover, the public speaker can make these interpretations without observing or in any manner being influenced by the expression on the faces of those in his audience. On account of this fact, an audience may cause a speaker to rise to great heights of oratory or heckle him into failure without making a sound or denoting a single expression of satisfaction or dissatisfaction through the features of the face. All master salesmen know the moment the psychological time for closing has arrived, not by what the prospective buyer says, but from the effect of the chemistry of his mind as interpreted or felt by the salesman. Words often belie the intentions of those speaking them, but a correct interpretation of the chemistry of the mind leaves no loophole for such a possibility. Every able salesman knows that the majority of buyers have the habit of affecting a negative attitude almost to the very climax of a sale. Every able lawyer has developed a sixth sense whereby he is enabled to feel his way through the most artfully selected words of the clever witness who is lying and correctly interpret that which is in the witness's mind through the chemistry of the mind. Many lawyers have developed this ability without knowing the real source of it. They possess the technique without the scientific understanding upon which it is based. Many salesmen have done the same thing. One who is gifted in the art of correctly the chemistry of the minds of others, one who is gifted in the art of correctly interpreting the chemistry of the minds of others may, figuratively speaking, walk in at the front door of the mansion of a given mind and leisurely explore the entire building, noting all its details, walking out again with a complete picture of the interior of the building without the owner of the building so much as knowing that he has entertained a visitor. It will be observed in the lesson on accurate thinking that this principle may be put to a very practical use, having reference to the principle of chemistry of the mind. The principle is referred to merely as an approach to the major principles of this lesson. Enough has already been stated to introduce the principle of mind chemistry and to prove with the aid of the student's own everyday experiences and casual observations that the moment two minds come within close range of each other, a noticeable mental change takes place in both, sometimes registering in the nature of antagonism and at other times registering in the nature of friendliness. Every mind has what might be termed an electric field. The nature of this field varies depending upon the mood of the individual mind back of it, and upon the nature of the chemistry of the mind creating the field. It is believed by this author that the normal or natural condition of the chemistry of any individual mind is the result of his physical heredity plus the nature of thoughts which have dominated that mind. That every mind is continuously changing to the extent that the individual's philosophy and general habits of thought change the chemistry of his or her mind. These principles the author believes to be true, that any individual may voluntarily change the chemistry of his or her mind so that it will either attract or repel all with whom it comes in contact is a known fact. Stated in another manner, any person may assume a mental attitude which will attract and please others or repel and antagonize them, and this without the aid of words or facial expression or other form of bodily movement or demeanor. Go back now to the definition of a mastermind, a mind which grows out of the blending and coordination of two or more minds in a spirit of perfect harmony, and you will catch the full significance of the word harmony as it is here used. Two minds will not blend, nor can they be coordinated unless the element of perfect harmony is present, wherein lies the secret of success or failure of practically all business and social partnerships. Every sales manager and every military commander and every leader in any walk of life understands the necessity of an esprit de corps, a spirit of common understanding and cooperation in the attainment of success. This mass spirit of harmony of purpose is obtained through discipline, voluntary or forced, of such a nature that the individual minds become blended into a mastermind by which is meant that the chemistry of the individual minds is modified in such a manner that these minds blend and function as one. The methods through which this blending process takes place are as numerous as the individuals engaged in the various forms of leadership. Every leader has his or her own method of coordinating the minds of the followers. One will use force, another uses persuasion. One will play upon the fear of penalties, while another plays upon rewards in order to reduce the individual minds of a given group of people to where they may be blended into a mass mind. The student will not have to search deeply into history of statesmanship, politics, business, or finance to discover the technique employed by the leaders in these fields in the process of blending the minds of individuals into a mass mind. And there's a quote here on the preceding page. Let me read it. It says, if you do not believe in cooperation, look what happens to a wagon that loses a wheel. Maybe we can think about that metaphor in terms of, you know, like the masterminds that we're a part of in our lives. You know, I was thinking about how, you know, Dr. Hill is teaching us that we need to have perfect harmony to be able to blend our minds into one so that we can have access to that supernatural, maybe, power of the third mind, right? And I was thinking about different things that that break the bond, that break the connection, you know, like envy, jealousy, pride, arrogance, you know, self-servingness, you know, like trying to put yourself above the others or the good of the whole. All of those things can break the bond. And maybe in the future, we can remember this metaphor of the wagon wheel. Whenever we get one of those feelings, because we're human and they will pop up from time to time, won't they? Until we master them completely, which I believe we can get to a point where we master them completely. But we'll have little instances of maybe jealousy or envy, you know, pop up from time to time. And maybe we can remember this metaphor of the wagon losing a wheel. And then we can quickly grab that wheel and put it back on the wagon through making a decision to love and to put the vision of the group ahead of a little petty enviness or jealousy. I think that's a great metaphor. So continuing on, Dr. Hill writes, the really great leaders of the world, however, have been provided by nature with a combination of mind chemistry favorable as a nucleus of attraction for other minds. Napoleon was a notable example of a man possessing the magnetic type of mind, which had a very decided tendency to attract all minds with which it came in contact. Soldiers followed Napoleon to certain death without flinching, because of the impelling or attracting nature of his personality. And that personality was nothing more nor less than the chemistry of his mind. No group of minds can be blended into a mastermind if one of the individuals of that group possesses one of these extremely negative, repellent minds. The negative and positive minds will not blend in the sense here described as a mastermind. Lack of knowledge of this fact has brought many an otherwise able leader to defeat. Any able leader who understands this principle of mind chemistry may temporarily blend the minds of practically any group of people so that it will represent a mass mind. But the composition will disintegrate almost the very moment the leader's presence is removed from the group. The most successful life insurance sales organizations and other sales forces meet once a week or more often for the purpose of what? For the purpose of merging the individual minds into a mastermind, which will, for a limited number of days, serve as a stimulus to the individual minds. It may be, and generally is, true that the leaders of these groups do not understand what actually takes place in these meetings, which are usually called pep meetings. The routine of such meetings is usually given over to talks by the leader and other members of the group, and occasionally from someone outside of the group. Meanwhile, the minds of the individuals are contacting and recharging one another. The brain of a human being may be compared to an electric battery in that it will become exhausted or run down, causing the owner of it to feel despondent, discouraged, and lacking in pep. Who is so fortunate as never to have had such a feeling? The human brain, when in this depleted condition, must be recharged, and the manner in which this is done is through contact with a more vital mind or minds. The great leaders understand the necessity of this recharging process, and moreover, they understand how to accomplish this result. This knowledge is the main feature which distinguishes a leader from a follower. Fortunate is the person who understands this principle sufficiently well to keep his or her brain vitalized or recharged by periodically contacting it with a more vital mind. Sexual contact is one of the most effective of the stimuli through which a mind may be recharged, providing the contact is intelligently made between man and woman who have genuine affection for each other. Any sort of sexual relationship is a devitalizer of any other sort of sexual relationship is a devitalizer of the mind. Any competent practitioner of psychotherapeutics can recharge a brain within a few minutes. Before passing away from the brief reference made to sexual contact as a means of revitalizing a depleted mind, it seems appropriate to call attention to the fact that all of the great leaders in whatever walks of life they have arisen have been and are people of highly sexed natures. The word sex is not an indecent word. You'll find it in all the dictionaries. There is a growing tendency upon the part of the best informed physicians and other health practitioners to accept the theory that all diseases begin when the brain of the individual is in a depleted or devitalized state. Stated in another way, it is a known fact that a person who has a perfectly vitalized brain is practically, if not entirely, immune from all manner of disease. And I think that's a great place for us to pause. and ponder and dissect what we've covered this morning. A lot of information, isn't it? A lot of information. And doesn't it cause us to reflect on the different experiences and relationships and maybe current experiences and relationships and alliances that we have in our lives and businesses currently? Interesting stuff. You know, I'll highlight one little piece that we read because I think it's very instructive for all of those who endeavor to continue to step into leadership roles. Dr. Napoleon Hill said, let me back up here, where was it? Let's see here, where was it? I may not be able to find the exact... The really great leaders of the world have been provided by nature with a combination of mind chemistry. Let's see here. Okay, here it is. Any able leader who understands this principle of mind chemistry may temporarily blend the minds of practically any group of people so that it will represent a mass mind. And I just want to highlight one little thing that I've noticed. Chris from Atlanta sent me a book called Titan, which is the biography of John D. Rockefeller. And it's interesting when you read that book, you learn one of the things that John D. Rockefeller did was he was able to coordinate a mastermind group of people. They would actually meet, I read in this book, they would meet once a day over lunch, his executive team, and they would blend their minds together. And I remember reading that, they would only make decisions, I believe, if they were in unanimous agreement. And usually when you find a group of people coming together in harmony, you'll find that there is at least one person in that group who sort of takes the role of harmonizing the minds so that they continue to blend and work with one another. Andrew Carnegie is another great example that Napoleon Hill talks about a lot. He says, Andrew Carnegie, when he asked him, what was your main, role in, becoming the richest man on earth and building, this giant of a steel enterprise. And Andrew Carnegie told Napoleon Hill that he didn't really understand or know anything about the marketing or the manufacture of steel. He said his main job was to coordinate the minds and keep them functioning in a state of harmony. That was his main job. And Napoleon Hill was a little bit taken back by this. And Andrew Carnegie said, well, have you ever tried to get two people to function in harmony for any length of time? He said, imagine trying to do that, two or three people. So just imagine the job it is to coordinate a group of 10, 15, 20, 50 strong minds. How do you keep them in harmony? Anyway, I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that as we continue to step into roles of leadership, I think one of our great responsibilities, if we are up to the task, is to recognize that it is a role of a leader to organize minds of talent and skill and capability into groups of harmonious wholes. And it takes a leader, I believe, of understanding, humility, deep understanding of principles, of laws, of ideals, of being able to, say certain things at certain times and not say certain things at certain times and be able to, lift certain people in certain ways at certain times and so on and so forth. Just keep that role of being that center that balances out the ups and downs and continues to pull people together. I think that's a really important role, and it's not a role that is reserved for just one person. See, if all the members of the mastermind understood that and kind of took it upon themselves to make that a part of their role as well, how much more powerful would the mastermind be if every member of the group realized that a big part of the job is to keep everyone functioning together in a spirit of harmony and unity. Wouldn't like pride disappear? Wouldn't just like having to be right all the time, wouldn't that kind of melt away if everyone in the mastermind kind of took that upon themselves to say, hey, look, I realize that, you know, my job here is not to be the right one. My job here is not to be the only one. My job here is not to be the man or the woman, but instead, my job here, part of my job, is to contribute to the mastermind in meaningful ways and also to do the best that I can to help us function as a group in a spirit of harmony and unity. I think our masterminds would be a lot more effective if we all, you know, would realize that and take that responsibility seriously. So that was just one insight that I had as I read this morning. I'm anxious to hear what stuck out to you. What did you learn? What lights got flipped on for you in the reading this morning? I cannot wait to hear. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are a part of our community here. And brevity and relevance, always appreciated in your comments. One moment, please.
Good morning, Paul. Larry
Carson. Hey, Larry. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, family. You know, it's really interesting. As we're reading this and we're talking about, you know, groups being working together and everything, I can't help but, as a Christian, think about when our Lord had died and he'd come back, and after the day of Pentecost, all of the disciples were together and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And at that point, they talk about things, and they said that they were, one of the things they said was they were all of one accord. And it just brought to my mind what the goal of what, when we do a mastermind, what it should be, that we be of all of one accord. And I think that this whole point that you were just making at the end here is so critical and so important. It, you know, if we focus as a mastermind, as we focus on getting together as a group, and understanding that, the whole realm of possibilities just explodes beyond our wildest imaginations of what we can do. You know, and I've seen this in groups. And when we don't have that, we end up with what's called death by committee, where, you know, people just do not agree on anything and nothing gets done. And we lose sight and vision for what we can do if we, instead of trying to fight each other and have our own agendas, if we work towards one agenda, that, you know, we just become so, so much more powerful and effective as a group. That's all I have to say. Back to you, Paul.
Powerful thoughts, Larry. Right on point. Appreciate that. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Kimberly.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Paul. It's Amy in Vegas.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, family. So what stuck out to me today was towards the end where it said, it is a known fact that a person who has a perfectly vitalized brain is practically, if not entirely, immune from all manner of disease. And I'm really into health and fitness and that kind of thing. So that's what really stuck out to me today. And it just made me feel good because, you know, because I know that by coming to this call and by listening to powerful audios and reading books and things like that, that I'm vitalizing my mind and just by being a part of this group. And that just makes me feel good to know that I can have good health by continuing to do that and the other things that I do. But that's all I really want to say about that. I just really liked that he said that. And that's it. That's my share for today.
Powerful. And I believe that's true, Amy. Thank you for highlighting that. Did I hear Kimberly Skinner coming out?
You did indeed. Good morning.
Good morning.
My Grow Rich family. And good morning to you, Mr. Paul Hutchings. I'm so grateful to be here this morning. I love the concept of harmony and synchrony and synchronicity and all of those fun concepts where together we can achieve more. And I guess, you know, I like the acronym for TEAM, together everyone achieves more. And I've noticed that this mastermind concept, you know, there's levels to it. There's levels to it just like everything else. And we get the capacity to come into a mastermind at whatever level we're at, and hopefully we grow to a place where we become a meaningful contributor. And sometimes we learn. Sometimes we just get to learn. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who will persist through the parts that are not their favorite. You know, I think this culture is largely oriented around comfort and convenience. And anytime discomfort arises, even emotional discomfort or mental discomfort, where we have to wrestle with a concept we don't understand, we can succumb to resistance. And instead, as we practice these principles, we get to build the muscle of flexibility, you know, emotional flexibility and mental flexibility, like maybe, just maybe, my viewpoint is an okay one, or maybe there are ones that would serve me better, would cause better results in my life and in my business, and maybe there are viewpoints that I truly cannot, you know, go forward with, and if so, if they exist in the mastermind, what do I do? So we get to grapple, we get to work out, you know, we get to go and jump into the mental gym and find out what we're made of and see if we can push through those reps where it's not so easy, metaphorically speaking. I just really love the capacity that this Think and Grow Rich family develops for, you know, taking the hard concepts, taking them on, and going forward, despite whether we initially our knee-jerk reaction is to agree or disagree, that we strive to keep our mind open. So I just have a lot of respect for that place and the type of person who's willing to do that. And that's really what stuck out to me. I just in gratitude today. So that's what I wanted to share. Thanks.
Grateful for you, Kimberly, and for your contribution always. I appreciate you so much.
Hey, Paul.
Hold on 1 second. I did hear someone jumping out. I'm going to clear the lines. 1 second. Heard a lady jumping out. Who is that? Star 6, come on out.
That was Lisa Scott, Paul.
Lisa Scott, good morning.
Good morning, and good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. I really appreciate what Kimberly was sharing in terms of masterminds and those who are willing to, you know, stick it out through those times that can be or perhaps are challenging, and we ultimately grow to a place, you know, where we're able to better, you know, rise to the occasion, so to speak, or, you know, without those challenges, we don't grow. So I really appreciate what Kimberly shared. You know, we're engaged in so many different masterminds in our life. Our family can be considered a mastermind. Some of our friendships can be considered a mastermind. And I appreciate all the various opportunities for masterminds that we get to engage in on a regular basis. And one of the things that I experienced personally is having to step back from, you know, all the voices that I tend to hear on a regular basis and become a mastermind partner of myself, which is something that I've heard Anthony Williams share in the past, and really pay attention to just the thoughts that I may be thinking within my own mind and coming to a place of oneness and focus within myself. Paul, you had mentioned, I believe it was you who mentioned a book, The Power of Awareness, with Neville Goddard. I don't know if it was you that mentioned that. But I have been listening to this book, and one of the things that Neville Goddard talks about is the conversations, paying attention to the conversations that we are having within ourselves, because we are also having those conversations with those who are around us. And I just think that this is, first of all, it is the truth. And it is an absolutely amazing phenomena that we are actually speaking at all times, even when our mouths are not moving. We are having this constant communication, you know, with others as well. So, of course, it's really important for us to pay attention to what it is that the conversation is between ourselves and others. So I just wanted to, those are just some of the things that jumped out to me as you were reading. Back to you, Paul.
Great thoughts, Lisa. Appreciate you so much. Pass Simpson, I think, is coming out next. Go ahead, Pass.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning.
Oh, there you are.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. Yep, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. How are you today, Paul?
Really good. How are you?
Oh, I'm so blessed and highly favored. I love that we're talking about this subject here. What I like to really talk about is like harmony, especially now that I'm in my music lately. You know, we've been really focusing on, you know, putting together good music. And I realized that life really is just one big song, you know. So we spend so much time trying to find our place in the band. Sometimes we're the lead singer. Sometimes we're just, you know, the drummer. Sometimes we're the guitar player. But there's always a place that we have to play in the band. You know, as long as we do not try to overpower the band, but actually play our part, the harmony in life becomes so much greater. You know, and I've been able to enjoy just being around good people by putting out good vibrations. And good vibrations, if you're listening to music, music is always a good vibration, especially good music. So if we spend more time paying attention to what part we play in the band, paying more attention to the personal responsibility that we play, that sometimes you're the leader, sometimes you're the follower, but what you're always going to be is a piece of the band. One of the things that I was writing yesterday is that we're born alone and we die alone, but we have to live together. We have to live together. So how well do you live with others? How well do you blend your talents with others? Are you humble enough to be able to give somebody else the credit even when you deserve it? There's some things to think about. I love you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you, Pass. Appreciate you, sir. Good thoughts as always. Star 6 is next. Come on out. Anything else stick out to you guys? Hey, Bill.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, family. Boy, you know what Kimberly touched on is really really quite insightful. I happened to read a blog from a friend of mine recently talking about, you know, people who have an employee mindset are looking for a place where they feel comfortable. They want to go to a church where they feel comfortable. They want a little bit of a neighborhood where they're comfortable. But those of us who are entrepreneurs are always pushing ourselves into areas where we're not comfortable. And that's where the growth comes. That's where our influence expands. That's where, you know, where greatness lies. And I've been involved with a number of masterminds that are led by a coach that you pay money to be a part of. And it's always been amazing that the people who have had the greatest differences in businesses were able to help each other the most. Very similar to this call. But my meeting last week, one of the guys had just gone through, his wife had some terrible health issues. She had this big tumor and you know, all kinds of terrible things resulted from that. And she can't work now. And so this guy has been working on his business now for quite a few years. And the consensus was he needed to go get a job for a while. And, you know, you wouldn't expect that to come from a bunch of entrepreneurs, but it was really obvious that that was the right action for him. So, you know, I just want to encourage everybody to seek other masterminds that maybe are specific to what you do every day in your work, but it's all good. And really, if we're going to achieve greatness, we have to go to places where we don't feel comfortable. So y'all have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to y'all tomorrow.
Absolutely. Appreciate that, Bill.
You bet.
There was a lady coming out with Bill. Who's the lady there?
It was me. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
It's Dee from Fort Worth, Texas.
first of all, I want to say that all of you guys are so well-spoken. You really do get your points across very well, which I like, so it makes it easy to understand. From today's reading, what I got was kind of more of clarification about what I do. Like I said before, I'm a nurse, and I've always thought that I was a leader, but as I was listening to the reading from the author, and he said that sometimes there's somebody that kind of keeps all the minds working together so we can stay on one accord, and then when that person leaves, everybody kind of scatters. I find that that is more what happens to me. I'm the one that kind of eases and paves the way, makes sure everybody compromises and sees the same vision, but as soon as I step away, it kind of disintegrates. So that's something that I'm going to have to mull over and work on, but that really is what spoke to me today, because it's like that in my family, in my immediate family. It's like that where I go to work at. It's just that in my friendships. That's just kind of what I do. And I never really thought about it like that. I never really thought of myself as the peacekeeper, but that's kind of what I am. So now I have to figure out what steps I need to do to become the leader so that when I do step away, that it still stays congealed, if that makes any sense. But anyway, like I said, thanks for being so well-spoken and making it easy for me to understand when I'm listening to you spit your ideas. Have a good day.
You're awesome, Dee, and that's a great, great, great gift that you have, that of being a peacemaker. Continue to treasure and develop that, my friend. It'll serve you well. Appreciate you coming out. Star 6, who's next? Come on, Nick. Come on out.
Hi, Paul. It's Kate from Connecticut.
Hey, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you so much for giving me a minute here to share. What's hitting me this morning is the power of the mastermind in regards to egos and being humble and allowing other people their time. In home business, I've been in the home-based business industry for almost 18 years now, and I have seen it happen so often that people start growing and attaining levels and being on stage and getting into that real leadership role, and then the ego takes over, and they're no longer humble. And I always, in my meditation, I pray that I don't let that happen to me as I start hitting levels in my business. But what I have noticed I do, I always want to talk about how this affects me in the reading. What happened to me recently, I had this big breakthrough just about a week ago. And what I saw was I had the ego in kind of the opposite way, in like low esteem, low self-esteem, and having this feeling, this sense that, you know, I'm not the big leader yet, so my words, my wisdom don't really matter as much as another's. And I think the power of this particular mastermind, at least, the power is that you, Paul, allow each one of us who maybe have these kind of esteem issues their time to come out and share, because I know the more that I share what's on my mind, somebody else who maybe feels that little bit of low self-esteem will get up the courage to come out on this call and contribute, because as Paz said, we all are members of this band, and it's a beautiful band, and it plays harmoniously, and each one of us is necessary for that universal mind to really come into play and take over. So for that, my friend, Paul, I really, really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. I appreciate you.
Hi, Selma.
And appreciate what you shared. Yeah, who is that? I'm sorry, who's next?
Hi, Selma.
Hey, Selma.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome.
Name, Think, and Grow Rich family. The part of the reading that really stood out to me was where we read, where he said, one who is gifted in the art of correctly interpreting the chemistry of the minds of others may, figuratively speaking, walk in at the front door of the mansion of a given mind and leisurely explore the entire building, noting all its details, walking out again with a complete picture of the interior of the building without the owner of the building so much as knowing that he has entertained a visitor. Now, that part really stood out to me because, you know, I've mentioned a few times that I have a blog that I normally write, which is titled Guard Your Mind with Wisdom. And the whole principle or the whole basis of that, you know, concept of that blog is just basically talking about how, because we get so comfortable in exposing ourselves and our minds to all kinds of influence that come in. And that's one of the reasons why I really, really, really love this hangout, this mastermind sessions that we have every day, especially because we have it so frequently. Because for me, it serves as a kind of sanctuary, like a guide that's sitting in the front of my mind so that it helps me throughout the day. And it's very important. I always say it's very important that you're very mindful of what you're entertaining, because it's not just a person, you know, who is gifted in the art of correctly interpreting the chemistry of the mind that can walk in without you knowing into your mind, take, you know, full account of what's going on in your head. But some people who understand the principle of the master, or the concept of the mastermind principle, you know, through the study of psychology, through the study of many different things, now work in industries that, like advertising industries, you know, TV and things like that, that understand this principle and use these tools as a weapon to, not a weapon, I don't want to sound, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to create some kind of conspiracy theory or whatnot, but people who understand this principle have a way of converting it into tools that can actually be used to filter into our minds in seemingly innocent ways, messages that kind of carry us along. Because if you look at the example he gave of Napoleon, I'm a little bit, it was interesting that he mentioned that right after he mentioned, you know, what a great leader is capable of doing. But anyway, when he gave the example of Napoleon, and he talked about how people were willing to walk into their deaths without flinching because of the influence this guy had on them. And to some degree, when we follow politics these days, when we follow the things that are going on in the world, when we follow, you know, when we expose our minds to some extreme situations, indirectly or directly, we are allowing some of these ideas to filter in, take a hold of, sit in our minds, and we blend our minds harmoniously with a certain kind of mindset that then affects the way that we live our lives. I don't know if that any of that is making sense, but this particular paragraph really stood out to me because for me, it just kind of reinforces how very important it is that we build our self-confidence, that we guide our minds with wisdom, that we expose ourselves to real truths that can help us prevent unwanted visitors from, you know, being entertained without us knowing, whatever those visitors are, whether it is through propaganda, politics, whatever, you know, we need to be very mindful of the things that go into our minds. Thank you.
I love hearing you speak, Thelma. Such great value and content. Thank you for sharing that. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
We do have 3 minutes left. Anyone else want to jump out here? In that case, I will share an example of, you know, Thelma was talking about that quote in the reading about being able to walk into someone's mind and kind of know what's going on a little bit. I had an experience yesterday that I thought of in relation to that. You know, I was chatting with this gentleman on Facebook who told me that he'd been, you know, wanting to be free, wanting to get rid of his job for, I think he's been in home business for 5 years, right? And so then I said, well, how serious are you, you know, how serious are you about making that happen? And he says, I'm serious. And I had presented to him a solution that I think could help him be able to, you know, make some changes and get better results. And he said, okay, I'm serious. So then I said, okay, what I want you to do is go ahead and fill out this form, and then I'm going to give you some instructions. And then he wrote me back, and he said, well, he says, you know, it's Thanksgiving this week, and I got family coming in, and basically he was saying I'd rather wait until after the holidays. And on one hand, I'm like, oh, you know, okay, holidays or whatever. But I'll tell you, on the other hand, I felt like I had walked into his mind a little bit, and I felt like I had seen that he really was not serious about his freedom. Because I remember, guys, I remember on my way to freedom, I remember Thanksgiving time coming around. Yeah, I would take maybe the day off for Thanksgiving, but I was working right up to the night before. I was up the very next morning on Friday because that was my day off from work, and that was a day I had to work on my freedom. That's how serious I was about winning my freedom. Thanksgiving, holidays, family, yeah, that's good stuff, but it's also extra time for me to work on my freedom. And so when he told me that, my gut reaction was I haven't responded to him yet, but I almost want to respond and say, you know what, it doesn't sound like you're a fit to work with me, because you told me you're serious, but I can tell that you're not, right? So that was just a little example of how I felt like, maybe a little bit about what Dr. Napoleon Hill was talking about, where, you know, you can walk into someone's mind just by connecting with them a little bit, just by hearing a little bit of their response, and you can kind of see what's really going on in there. Now, I'm not going to say that I know for sure, but maybe that was an experience that, you know, it's kind of like that. And I believe that as we continue, guys and gals, as we continue to be students of human nature, as we continue to study the things that we're studying, as we continue to be students of life, as we continue to mastermind with great people, listen to great audios, read great books, we are going to become more astute observers of the people around us, and we are going to continue to have access to ideas that I believe are going to empower us to do the things we're destined to do with faith and confidence and power without fear. That was another part of this reading that I loved, guys, that I want to highlight again. Dr. Napoleon Hill said, I believe, quoting Dr. Hill, he said, I believe that the chemistry of one's mind is both a combination of heredity and the thoughts, the predominant thoughts that we choose to harbor in our minds. Now, if that's true, at least half of that we have a lot of control over. We can literally charge our minds. We can literally step up the rate of vibration. How? By doing what we do, reading great books, thinking great thoughts, controlling the thoughts that go on in our minds, getting around people who are serious about controlling their thoughts, masterminding with other people, mixing our mind with their mind so that we create that third mind and we're lifted up. And that idea inspires me because it helps me to know that each one of us, no matter where we're at, we can grow, we can change, we can get better, we can get more powerful. So, guys, that's a big part of this call. We're here to charge our minds in the morning so that we're lifted up to another rate of vibration and ready to affect the day, maybe more so than just be affected by every single thing that comes at us. We're going to be positive forces that affect the people around us. So, guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I think we're doing great things. Be back here tomorrow. Just a little bit of a heads up. We are going to take Thursday and Friday off for Thanksgiving this weekend. So we will be back here tomorrow, and then we'll take the next couple of days off. So, guys, come back tomorrow. I'm excited about what we're going to learn. I love you. Get out there. Have an awesome day, and we'll see you all back here tomorrow. Bye for now. Have an awesome day.
I love you all
so very, 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 very much. Yeah. I love you all so very, very, very much. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Wonderful, wonderful, magnificent fall. I love you.
I believe in you guys. Always see your possibilities.
This is the best call ever.
Make today a successful day. Make today a successful day. Make today a successful day. You know what I'm saying? You have a successful day already. Yeah. Yeah.
Never give up.
You are loved.
I love my life.